Donald Trump will never be elected president of the United States.
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
Can we stipulate for the purposes of this conversation that Donald Trump will never be president of the United States?
If either Trump or Cruz is the nominee, we probably lose. Definitely that's the case with Trump.
Trump, I don't believe, is going to be the party's nominee. And if he is, he's going to get crushed by Hillary Clinton. And I wanted to point that out.
The real story is the collapse of Trump in this debate.
Right now, Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say you're not going to be president. There is zero chance we'll be seeing you being sworn in on the Capitol steps with your hand on a giant golden Bible.
Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
All right, all right.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
This race is over. Tomorrow morning, the money will dry up. The Republicans will start to hide. Trump has no place to go.
Donald Trump will never, ever be president of the United States. That Trump should not be in this race. He's an absurdity. He is a travesty.
No part of your mind or brain can you imagine Donald Trump standing up one day and delivering a State of the Union address?
Well, I can imagine it in a Saturday night skit.
And welcome to the program. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And it happened today, 12 p.m. high noon in Washington, D.C., 9 a.m. our time. Donald J. Trump became the 45th president of the United States. And here we are. All those people. And that was, of course, just a snippet of some of the things that we've heard over the last year and a half. Some of those, we got Harry Reid, Bill Maher, we got Pelosi, Clooney, Beckel, you know, just the typical politicians, talking heads on TV, stupid actors in Hollywood, none of them who know anything about the people who elected Trump to be their president. Now, this is the important point, because if you follow this program and have for some time, you know that I have consistently predicted that Trump would have either a strong chance of succeeding or would actually become president from the beginning, even before the primaries were over. And the reason for this, and I'm going to take you through the speech today, because this is the most important thing here. We're going to cover the speech. We're going to take it apart. I'll give you all the best, most important pieces that that you need to hear. But I want to explain who the speech was to, what the purpose of the speech was, because it was not a speech intended to win over CNN, okay? I'm not worried one bit that these clowns here that you heard over in our opening bit here, the speech was not to assuage, to mollify, to please, to suck up to any of these people that you just heard from. And I'll explain that as we get through the speech. But I want to take you back a little bit in history first and tell you where my thinking was well over a year ago when it came to Trump. And one of the talking heads that consistently poo-pooed the whole Trump train phenomenon was a guy named Frank Luntz. I don't know if you know him. He's the pollster, does a lot of work on Fox News. And Frank Luntz, he's got these, he does those focus groups. So he gets 10 people or 15 people together, and they've got their little meters, which is basically a dial, and it's on a box, and they watch something, and then they, do you react positively or negatively? People turn the dials and sit there like, idiots. And you're supposed to get, some feel, these panels that he used are supposed to be indicative of the American public, the voters. And so I remember I was watching something and Trump was speaking, and it was just people were negatively reacting to it. And I remember watching it, and I was struck by how honest and candid Trump was. Maybe it wasn't polished, it didn't have a beautiful bow on it. There's other people that had more soaring rhetoric and were more polite. But you had Trump, who was speaking It was really heartfelt. And I thought, there's something here. And I was yelling at my TV like I'm wont to do from time to time. And I was specifically, this Frank Luntz guy is talking on Fox about how there's no way, no way, no how. It's never going to happen. Trump does not have likability for him to get all the way and to close the deal. Being, of course, him getting elected president. And so on December 8th, 2015, on this program, now if you were here, you'll remember this, I said this. Whatever happened to talking from your gut or from your heart and believing something? And I think this cycle, folks, is when people have had enough. And this is why all the inside the Beltway people, this is why all your pundits and Washington, you know, aristocrats, right? Why they don't get it and they're predicting Trump's demise like it's going to happen now. Yeah, I've been hearing now for the past 6 months. I remember him, Robbie, I think I even sent you the clip of his announcement speech. He gave his announcement and then he did a rally. Was it in Arizona or Nevada? I think he did one in Arizona and one in Nevada. And I'm listening to him and that's when I put money on him. Fair disclosure, I got money on Trump. Because back then, nobody believed that he would make it even this far. I put money on it because I said, this is a guy who is speaking from his heart. Maybe some of it's a little bit out there, but he's speaking from his heart and people can connect, people will trust him. And that's what this is. Don't be fooled by the talking heads on TV. Don't be fooled. And so that's exactly it. You had all these talking pundits who are poo-pooing Trump. It's not going to happen. Never, no way, no how. And now you got the same pundits poo-pooing the speech. And this is exactly the point. So to get through the speech, you got to understand who he's talking to. And he's not talking to the same pundits that never believed in him. And he's not there to convince him. No matter how much you would want, they say that that's what the speech ought to be about. The critical thrust of Trump's speech, and by the way, in terms of presidential speeches, something inaugural addresses, Trump's was actually one of the shorter ones. I saw a chart measuring number of words. His was about 1,500 words. And Obama's first, of course, not be surprised, was very wordy. I think about 2,800 words for his first one and a little bit shorter for his second one. Trump's speech, by comparison, relatively short, ran about 15 minutes, and it got right down to business. Now, here is his opening salvo as far as what to expect from a Trump administration vis-a-vis business as usual in Washington.
Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
And the crowd went wild because that's exactly what they want to have happen. Notice I did not say it's exactly what the crowd wants to hear. That is exactly what Trump supporters, and I'll even say more broadly, people that voted for Trump. There's a difference because I think there are a lot of people who voted for Trump necessarily wouldn't count themselves as Trump supporters. But Trump voters want absolutely to see a power shift from Washington, D.C. to the states, to the local power. They're tired of government in their business, their hand in their pocket, regulating, taxing, and frankly, talking down to. So that was his first opening salvo. Now, with Obama, and you got to understand the dynamic here. So the last person to walk on that dais there, on that platform, after all the dignitaries file in, and you've got the ex-presidents in attendance, all but George H.W. Bush, who was in the hospital, you have Obama sitting right there to Trump's left, right? And you've got Obama sitting there. And Michelle Obama in the meantime was busy giving a stink eye. If you looked at it, you could definitely see he's giving the side eye Twitter went nuts over this, by the way. So that, you know, that was a little sideshow there. But as Obama is sitting there, Trump gets right into the heart of the complaints during the campaign. Because if you think about what were Trump's biggest promises? That's right, immigration, jobs, trade, and I military. Yeah, okay, for American interests only. But what was the final one? It developed sort of late in the game, as Black Lives Matter, the movement, the BLM movement, sprung into full bloom. Trump became the law and order candidate. And you'll recall Obama, you know, supporting Black Lives Matter. Oh, we got to understand this. We got to, you know, and a rash of liberal politicians across the country handcuffing the police and preventing the police from enforcing laws. And you look at the murder rate in Chicago. Obama's hometown. That's his brainchild, his former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. So against this backdrop, here is what he says. I'm speaking directly to our urban centers in this country. I'm talking to you, the people in the inner city. And here's what he said.
The crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
It was powerful. In the moment, I understand these clips, you get stuff that's broken up a little bit, but in the moment, it was powerful. Yes, Rachel Maddow, I'm sorry, this isn't the soaring rhetoric you'd hoped and wished for. You might think it has shades of, what did she say? Nazism and fascism. There's nothing fascist about wanting a elderly, perhaps even an elderly minority woman who lives one block away from a convenience store to be able to leave her apartment, go there, buy groceries, come back without getting shot. And that was his point. It stops right here and right now. It was very powerful. Now, when I was talking about this, so you see how he is basically hitting. And he continues, I'll show you, his campaign themes. He's not looking to win over a new audience. He's hitting his campaign themes and reaffirming that he's committed to fulfilling them. And here's what he says about borders. And this is where the crowd went wild. Play the tape.
We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own and spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon.
Bingo! Exactly right. That is it. Because here... And you know what? That's a message, by the way, that plays, I'm saying to Trump voters now, hear me out, Trump voters, that plays out Trump voters that voted, that have previously been Democrats voting against George W. Bush, and conservative Republicans who are unhappy with the expansionism, and yeah, I'm not going to call it imperialism, but basically an expansive, incoherent, stuttering foreign policy that seeks to expand our tentacles all over the world, but not really derive any or get any benefit from. There are people that are fed up with it. And he ties in the infrastructure thing, which is a big theme too. He continued, he hit on that point several times, which is he's alluding to Iraq, for example. Can't spend billions rebuilding Iraq, and at the same time, have our bridges, our highways, our airports, have an open border on our own border, right? We go, we protect Kuwait from getting invaded, but we can't stop the invasion on our southern border, can we? A very strong point, and the crowd ate it up. All right, I'm going to continue with a number of these highlights of the speech. But here's the point of it all. So you understand, he is not convincing CNN that he's a good guy, that he's acting presidential. He's not holstering his Twitter account. He's doing two things. He's talking to his base. That's key. But the other thing that he's doing is he is scaring the bejesus out of Congress. He is going into this like a mega bulldozer. Full force, high throttle, hand on the horn, saying, you follow me, I am charging ahead, I've got the wind behind me, I've got the public behind me, this is what people want, and I'm going to get it done. And they're scared. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. As always, reporting live from an undisclosed location deep behind the Orange Curtain. That's right, an LA talk show from the heart of Orange County. And here we are talking about the Trump inauguration. I thought it was a great speech. We're going through it, giving you some of the, I think, some of the great clips of it in case you missed the whole thing. Now you'll be able to talk to everybody as if you were there live. All right. Now, I'll tell you before we resume going through the speech, now something interesting, because I was glued this whole day to the television, and that's because I love the pomp and circumstance of all of this. I really do. It is incredible, and I want to see what people are wearing, and I want to see what they're doing, and how they're walking, and I want to see how they're interacting, because of course you have and it's understandable. There is a tremendous amount of tension in the air. It can't be overstated. Now, one thing I noticed is when the day began, it started basically with Trump arriving. The Trumps arrived at the White House to be invited. And this is it's a traditional thing where they're invited for tea into the White House, and they chit chat. There's an exchange of some kind of presents, and then they travel. They get in the car together. And they travel over to the Capitol to go to attend the inauguration. And at the end of that, when Trump is, inauguration is done, then the new president sees the outgoing president out the door. Right? We've seen this, many times. Well, when Trump showed up to the White House and when they're leaving the White House to go to the Capitol, and when they're at the Capitol walking in and going in, you cameras are following every move. And one thing I noticed was that at every turn, Obama was the dominant player. This is body language, and it's body language 101. You can look for this. It's a very interesting thing to see. The last person to leave a room or the last person to enter a room. It's a dominance thing. So you can see you'd have Obama waiting for Trump to walk out and put his hand behind his back, and it was very much I'm in charge. As soon as the ceremony was over, and Trump was sworn in as the 45th president, you saw it turn around 180 degrees, and now Trump was the one leading Obama. It's an interesting thing to observe, while I don't know if it's intentional, but it definitely was apparent, and it was there. One example of how in a matter of less than a minute, a power dynamic changes, and the power of the presidency really does shift from one person to the next. So Obama leaves town as a private citizen, gets on the helicopter, and bye-bye, see you later. Only, it's not quite bye-bye, see you later. He delivers a speech. If we get to the clip later, I'll play you the clip later. because it's a great contrast to Trump's powerful, you know, strong and direct delivery that he gives in his inaugural address. And then Obama's speech is just meandering and just it's so weak. Oh my gosh. But after it, in that speech, interestingly enough, you know what? He did refer to Trump because he's at Joint Air Base Andrews. It used to be Andrews Air Force Base, but now Joint Base Andrews. And he's there to take the flight home back here. He's actually out here in California. And so he's about 2,000 people there. They're all his supporters. You know, the people are crying and despondent. And he says, kind of, don't you worry. Don't you worry. You know, this is not a period in American history, he says of Trump. No. He goes, Trump, it's a comma. And I thought about that and I thought, Trump is anything but a comma. This guy's an exclamation point. I mean, if there ever is a person in American politics that deserves to be an exclamation point, it's Trump. And I guess Obama is more of a colon, if you think about it. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right and the rest of everyone is wrong.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, and welcome back to the program. It is Friday, January 20th, Inauguration Day. It happened. Trump is president. Now, if it's a nightmare for you, you're in the right place because maybe we can work on your way of thinking. And if you're very excited about today's activities, then you are in the right place because you're among friends. Okay, the speech. Excellent. I thought what Trump said was great. And I just want to reiterate the point that I made in the last half here, which was Trump's audience. I'm hearing all the pundits. You remember all the losers, the talking heads that all got it wrong, that all said Trump would never win. Yeah. Those guys. So now they're all saying, oh, Trump didn't speak to the right. He's supposed to talk to the people that didn't vote for him. Okay, Trump doesn't need to talk to those people right now. He needs to reassure his base. And what I was also saying is he needs to lay out his level of seriousness. I said he was scaring Congress to work with him, to follow him, to take his lead. But also remember, there's an element of negotiation here. Yeah, Trump's a negotiator. If you take apart and look at The Art of the Deal, his book about negotiating, you always stake a larger, you bite off a bigger, lay a bigger claim than what you actually want to end up with. You ask for more than what you want to get. And that's, you know, we're hearing a lot of people saying, well, he's getting too specific in the speech. He's asking for, you know, he's getting too specific. It's deliberate. Trust me. It's 100% deliberate. Now, so I'll tell you, one thing that he really got very specific on was foreign policy, because here's where I think he's going to go butt heads with a lot of people in Congress. And I want to talk. Let's play. Well, so he's talking about what kind of foreign policy, what kind of terms of engagement we are likely to see in a Trump administration. And go ahead and play clip number 19.
We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow.
That's it. See, now he's talking about he wants one of the cornerstones of what Trump wants to do is scale back the interventionism of the Obama and Bush years. And trust me, it's not lost on the fact that Obama and Bush are sitting there right behind him as he's delivering these remarks. And he is absolutely directly contradicting the Republican and Democrat, both sides. We have entangled ourselves in so many theaters, in so many places, and in so many ways that there's no point. And this is exactly what the people that voted for Trump want to hear, need to hear. They want reassurance. And he has to lay this out for Congress to get on the same page with him. And he's doing it here. Now, he addressed this is where he was talking to all the people that are up in arms about what a racist he is, what a basket of deplorables, that all of his, you know, all of Trump's supporters are just a bunch of bigots. And here is what he says about race and about heart. And let's talk.
When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice.
And this is what I really love. There's no room. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. It's very powerful. We're one country, one people, and we're the era of putting people in little categories like the Democrats love to do, you know, black people, white people, you know, Asians, Hispanics, gays, straights, whatever. No, we're Americans. When I come back, I want to talk to you about Hillary. She came there, she was there, and I'll tell you how that went down. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Rogowski here. It's pretty wet out there, isn't it? I think today was probably, no, it was certainly some of the strongest rain that we've had so far this season. In Newport, where my office is, Newport Beach, the rain at one point was basically like moving horizontally. It was just slamming the side of my office, like spraying the side of the building, because you had wind, you had rain, there was flooding, flash flooding. And here's the statistics, if you're interested, as far as what's happening out on the roads. The CHP, the California Highway Patrol, is reporting that between 9 p.m. Sunday and 1 a.m. Monday, there were 201 reported crashes in L.A. County. That's a 570% increase from the same period last week, when the CHP counted only 30 crashes. Can you believe that? And the answer is I can believe it because I'm out there driving in it. Listen, be safe. Be careful. Don't drive fast. Keep the multitasking to a minimum and hope and pray that no idiot not paying attention and driving too fast on bald tires doesn't slam into you and crash and hurt you. If that happens to you or a loved one, but you know what to do, right? You're going to call the one attorney that we trust here on the program. And that man is Sweet James Bergener. That's right. He's going to take care of you and make sure that your rights are preserved and that the insurance company doesn't take advantage of you. No, not going to happen. All right. Don't talk to anybody. Don't do anything. Just call Sweet James and let him take care of it all. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Nation, here on Inauguration Day, January 20th, we are doing great. We are having fun here. Did you see this bit with Bill Clinton up in the stands? It's making the rounds on the internet. So Clinton is up there. He's standing next to Hillary. By the way, Hillary walks in, and the crowd below, the seats all go to Trumpists, you know? So Hillary, they announce Hillary's name, and everybody begins shouting, chanting, "Lock her up! Lock her up!" And then, of course, poor Hillary, you know, she's there, she's sitting, and she's probably the last place you'd want to be, right? I mean, she's picturing herself up there at the podium getting sworn in. And to add insult to injury, that's right, Bill Clinton gets caught giving this incredibly long, awkward, I mean, almost like drooling stare of Ivanka Trump. You gotta, this is not, it's not even like subtle in one little bit. Long drawn out stare, and it gets cut short. The best part is Hillary catches him and she purses her lips and just looks up at him and looks at him like, what the F are you doing? And I say that because that is exactly those. If trust me, without cameras rolling, she would have said the full word and probably kicked him in the nuts. So I'm telling I would not want to be Bill Clinton once those two were alone after that inauguration, that swearing in. My gosh, so awkward. Now, Trump was gracious. During the luncheon that followed the swearing in, he asked that Hillary Clinton stand up. He recognized her and said some nice things about her. So this is the thing that people are having trouble wrapping their minds around. The speech, everybody says it's dark. You know, you hear CNN bemoaning it. MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. Just fascist, you know, dark and you know, but this is Trump laying out his agenda. This is Trump reassuring his base, his voters, that he's carrying through with what he promised. And privately, Trump is someone who knows how to be gracious, who knows how to win people over. And you're seeing the two sides of it. Strong rhetoric, strong ideas, purpose, but also a gracious human being who will, hear me out on this, who will get things done because of it. All right, back right after this short timeout. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, even my coffee tastes better with Trump as president. I'm not going to lie. And yes, in case you're wondering, I like it black. Okay, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Inauguration Day, we are coming to you live from an undisclosed location. Deep behind the orange curtain, the Sam Nation studios in Orange County, California. And we are making radio great again. Now, the speech today, I was unpackaging it a little bit to you and giving you some tidbits from the day's festivities. I thought the speech was very powerful, very specific, and it was strong. And it was also short. You know, somebody once told me a good speech ends on time and a great speech ends early. And I think everybody was expecting a longer speech and they didn't get it. And I like that's good. So, but one of the things that really you've got to understand, the context for a lot of what is going on today and a lot of things that you're hearing from the talking heads, don't forget, these are the people that told you time and time and time again that Trump, no way, no how, would ever possibly win. And these same people are the ones that are now telling you he needs to moderate, he needs to chill out, he needs to be presidential and stop tweeting. All that is just poppycock, okay? Trump is speaking directly to the American people. These are the things the American people want. I'm sorry. I know Chris Matthews doesn't want a border wall. Chris Matthews thinks a border wall is racist. I don't get it, of course, and neither do you. And the people that are, they're tired of being told that their sincerely held beliefs that are not racist, are not prejudicial, are not mean-spirited, being told that they are, all of those things, people are sick of it. And so here is one of the things where the crowd really, this is another great moment in the speech. And this is where there's such a defining contrast between Trump and Obama. And I want to play this, and just, it's a short little clip, but it really nails down what Trump is expecting. He's talking to Congress right here. He's talking to Congress. Play the clip.
In America, we understand that a nation is only living as long as it is striving. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining, but never doing anything about it.
Hot dang. I can't yell, by the way. I told you what happened when my daughter was tuning in, my 3-year-old Ava. My wife texted me and said that they tuned in, and Ava said, "Why is Daddy angry?" I'm not angry here. I'm just saying, hot dang. This is good. This is good. Politicians all talk, no action. All right, let's play a word association game. Politicians all talk, no action. Now, boom, first name that comes to mind. Okay, that's right. Let's play. I'm going to just play. This is so unbearable, so please do not turn the radio off. I'm warning you. This clip is nearly unlistenable. Is that a word? But anyway, it's horrible. Obama, this is a Joint Base Andrews, formerly known as Andrews Air Force Base. He's on his way out of town. He's talking to 2,000 of his supporters, and he has them hanging on his every word, literally.
Started on this journey. We did so with an abiding faith in the American people and their ability, our ability, to join together and change the country in ways that would make life better for our kids and our grandkids. The change didn't happen from the top down, but it happened from the bottom up. It was met sometimes with skepticism and doubt. Some folks didn't think we could pull it off. There were those who felt that the institutions of power and privilege in this country were too deeply entrenched. And yet, all of you,
it sounds like he went hot tubbing with Roman Polanski. Excuse me. It's terrible. It's literally do you get it? He's done. You know, there's people that have said they've listened to Obama's speeches, you know, year over year over year, and it strikes them. I've heard this said. It's not an original thought, but I agree with it. That it almost sounds like someone talking who hasn't been at the levers of power for as long as they've been. That at every turn, Obama talked as if he had no he was a perpetual campaign. So here's my closing thought on all of this. time will tell to see if Trump is the same. Because he's laid out a bold vision for this country that I like and that a lot of Americans like. I dare say a majority of Americans like. They want to see it happen. And only time will tell if he makes it happen. And that's it. All right. So we are off, unfortunately, folks. Monday and Tuesday, we're gone. Back on Wednesday evening. Go Kings, go. And have a great weekend. And early next week. Talk to you soon. Happy Trump Day. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. He says I'm gonna win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. You bump the pistol that you play for. This bump the feeling that you stay for. In time I want to be your best friend. Peace and love is living on the west. News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC. KABC. Los Angeles. Orange County. A Cumulus station.